This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't always have time to listen to the entire show, even though we'd like to believe that that's what you do. So, in the interest of that, we've picked what we think is pretty good. So here's 15 pretty good minutes of the Jeff Buchanan Show. Thanks for listening.
This is the Jeff Buchanan Show. On 98.5 KLUC.
It's funny, I think this probably happens a lot more than we're aware of, and we probably just don't hear from those folks. Every once in a while, we'll get somebody who lashes out about our fair city. I always think it's funny that folks are so certain. Spence and I have kind of gone round and round about this in the past a little bit. I find it funny that people think that Las Vegas is so unique. Because I don't find it to be, obviously every place is different.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't find it to be that much different than anywhere else.
Especially when it comes to dating. I don't feel like it's any different.
Yeah. I mean, or anything. People talk about, you know, I mean, I know the schools they're don't rank well and everything. But, you know, and people talk, oh, wow, it's just, you can't raise kids here. Whatever.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
You can't? Really? Because honestly, I've had a greater sense of community. And more close. My friends from Seattle, where they have great schools, and my buddy goes, God, I wish I had what you had. What you have.
Aww.
With all your friends, and you guys play softball, and you hang out on the weekends. I don't have that. So I don't have that. He gets excited when I come to town, because then we can hang out. And it's not like he's a dork and doesn't have any friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? He just doesn't have it like what we got here.
Yeah.
So I'm not the guy to come to and go, oh, it's Las Vegas is terrible. I'm not that guy.
No, it's been my belief, though, in the past because of by virtue of what our main, tourism and nightclubs and stuff like that, that you attract more of a certain kind. That doesn't mean the whole city's bad. When I first got here, I wanted to get out. But now I've been here a long time and I absolutely love Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I moved here with my girlfriend. It only took about a year.
That's
and
so
it went
interesting.
Sour. Now, is it Vegas?
But do you blame that on Vegas?
No, but I'd always heard never move to Vegas with somebody. Honest to God. Never move. If you're in a relationship, don't move to Vegas with them because it will not end well.
Oh.
I went, people were, because I like to go out.
Yeah.
But if I go out, I like to go out with my friends and go to a bar. I like to go out and hang out like that. Watch a ball game on TV, have a few beers.
Sure.
That's me. I'm not nightclub guy. I'm just not. It's loud. It's crowded. It's all the stuff. I'm a guy that kind of likes to be able to just do what I want to do when I want to do it, like most people. And honestly, in a nightclub setting, you can't.
It's a little hard sometimes.
Yeah. You got to stand in a line until the guy tells you it's okay. You don't get to sit down. You know why? Because you didn't pay for that seat.
Okay.
You got to stand here, and then you got to stand over there, and then, what? What's your name? What? I'm married now, you know, but.
Sure.
And going down to the strip. I don't want to have to fight my way down there and then find parking, walk it. No. I want to go down the street
like
to
a
PT.
Casual setting.
I want to go down the street to PT's.
Yeah. It's too simple.
Yeah. Keep it easy. Jamie, you're struggling with it. You're struggling with being here.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, my boyfriend and I moved here from Des Moines like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And we've been dating for 2 years. And there were marriage plans. Because we came out west so that we could like kind of start our lives over and like be away from our families and like our tiny hometown. But, like, Vegas has, I think, like, ruined us. And it's not like I don't like it, but it's just, like, the nightclubs and, like, the 24-hour lifestyle. And
like what we were just talking about. Like, all of that we were talking about.
It's just, yeah, and it's, like, so much. And it's, like, not just him because, like, Like, I love me some Keno.
Right. You and a boy Spence.
Oh, I love
you. Yeah.
Spence, hey, when did you become a Keno guy, by the way? You used to be video poker guy.
I was double-double video poker mostly, and then I started to play the Keno, and I hit a 7 out of 8 for like $800, $900, and I'm like, this is too easy.
What's the excitement of it?
Yeah.
Is it watching the numbers come up? Because it's the most boring thing in the world.
No, it is absolutely boring, but if I'm at a bar watching the Golden Knights, I can play that and I can watch the Knights and not pay attention too much because I can't screw anything up by not holding that pair of aces accidentally because I'm watching the hockey game. So you can kind of do it. And then when it does and you've got eight numbers there and five show up and then six and you're like, oh, I'm going to hit somebody. And then you don't.
So, you sound like an addict right now.
Yeah, you really do. You sound like you need help.
I grab the pamphlet when the fun stops. I know what I'm doing, Kayla. I know what I'm doing.
Every couple of weeks he calls them.
The fun has stopped.
We should call. I wonder where that goes.
Yeah.
I wonder what they tell you. Right. Have you thought about grabbing the pamphlet, Jamie? Maybe that's all you need.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet. But I'm just worried about our relationship.
You said in the email, and I thought this was the part that really drew me to you, was you used the term slipping away.
Oh.
And oh my God. Like you think there's a problem now with like you're losing your boyfriend to Las Vegas?
Yeah, it just kind of feels like we're drifting apart. It's sort of sucking him in, and I don't know. I feel like there have to be couples who've moved here and survived, you know? So I want to know how we can make it work.
Some guys can't handle Vegas. That's a line. What's that movie? Can't think of it now.
The Hangover.
Yeah, Hangover. Yeah.
Is it possible that you guys are just finding yourselves in the city? I mean, it's maybe you're just growing. Maybe you're just evolving. That doesn't mean necessarily that your relationship is in, you know, dire straits.
Well, what does that mean?
Just means that you're discovering who you are. Like, oh, you like to gamble. Okay, well, then you've discovered that you're a gambler. Good for you. It doesn't mean necessarily that because now he loves gambling that you don't exist in his world anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just worried that we're, like, growing apart, you know, which is not the same as growing together. Because, like, I like to go into the nightclubs at first, but now it's just, like, so exhausting. And so he, like, goes without me sometimes. And it's just, I don't know, we don't get to spend a lot of time together.
And isn't that funny that you guys ended up here because you were trying to get away from, didn't you use the term distractions a moment ago?
Yeah, just like our distractions and like our family and stuff.
Yeah. So isn't that funny that you've gone from one set of distractions to another?
Oh, you sound like a therapist.
I know, right? Well, you know what?
Kind of, therapy.
Kind of. We've done it. We've obviously been down these paths a million different times. All right. Well, let's turn it over to the P1s. Thank you for being honestly. Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. I hope someone had some. I mean, that was good advice, but maybe more.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. Because we didn't get to the meat of it.
Yeah. Move to an apartment as far away from the strip as you can. Then it's harder to get down there.
Is that the answer?
Maybe.
No. Is that the answer? Move to Boulder City.
Gambling's not even allowed.
Move to Searchlight.
I meant more like, you know, Centennial Hills.
Moapa. Maybe Moapa. Indian Springs. Or do you move to Providence?
Yeah. So it's just, if the strip and that kind of thing, maybe you just make it a little harder to get there.
Do you go deep in Inspirata or Mountain's Edge?
Yeah.
Or some, is that the answer? How, when you moved here as a couple, did you struggle and how did you get through it? Did Vegas almost get you too? I'm interested in that. I'm willing to entertain it because I understand that exists.
Yeah.
You know, instead of in your town where there's three strip clubs, there's like three strip clubs all together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all in one area.
Yeah. Sapphire itself is bigger than all of the strip clubs in Iowa combined.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Fact. Look it up. Look it up. Lazy. How do you survive Las Vegas? For me, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I got cable TV. I don't understand what the problem is. 702-364-9890. So, Michelle, if she was your friend and came to you, how would you tell Jamie to manage Las Vegas?
Jess, you have to make it work. It's 50-50. Sometimes one gives more than the other, 60-40. But if, and we're totally opposite, my husband and I, but we absolutely work on that. And then he has his alone time with his guys, and then I go out with the girls, and then we come home, you know, and we just have to make time. Even still to this day, almost 20 years married, moving to Las Vegas from a small town in California, and we just make ourselves priorities. You have to.
But she's talking about 24-hour lifestyle and the nightclubs and the gambling and all that kind of stuff. And so,
yes.
so you're saying, kind of let the leash out a little bit, but be ready to jerk it back.
Yes, because my husband did not want. He was in the party. We both went to school. He was the jock, medical field for me. But we just made it work. Even if it was going to the movies together and I go hang out, you have to give. If you don't give, then it's done.
Interesting. No, that's really interesting. And it's funny because I realize how my wife manages me. Because if I say I want to do something, she goes, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then, but then I realize that she's at home by herself. You know what I mean? Then I come home and I'm like, what'd you do? I watched a movie. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
It sucks.
But sometimes that's nice, though. Sometimes...
I'm a jerk. No, and she doesn't mind.
Yeah.
She's fine. And she's a big girl, too. And she has friends and she can go out and do stuff. But what that does, to Michelle's point, what that does, sure, you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to do whatever I want. I want to be with you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's, yeah.
The only issue that I have with Michelle's theory on all this is, doesn't it become one person telling the other everything that they should be doing then after a while?
No.
Like if she's the one who realizes that they're starting to drift apart, then she's telling him, hey, we need to do stuff together. And hey, we need to do this. And almost becoming like a mother to him and forcing him to do things.
Any relationship.
And I didn't take it that way. She said both have to give. It should be 50-50, but sometimes it's 60-40.
Yeah, I got the idea. When I made the analogy of letting out the leash, that doesn't sound like she's telling anybody what to do. She's saying, do your thing.
As long as you're on this leash.
Somewhat. Yes. But Hope, I think Michelle combined with Hope, what's your thing for Jamie?
I would definitely tell her that they need to start finding new activities to enjoy together that are off the strip, like
Bingo.
Hiking and going to museums or art galleries or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I agree. Just find stuff. Like I said, people, how did you live in Las Vegas? It's not my thing. I went to, yes, were there plenty of time? Is there anything better? I'm telling you, I think one of the greatest things in the world is walking out of a nightclub at 7 in the morning. I'm sorry, parents whose kids are listening right now, but there is nothing better. When you're you know, young, you're out having fun. What are you making face at me for?
I just have never stayed out in a club until 7 a.m.
That's right. You haven't lived because you're the grandma of the show.
Yeah, it's true.
There is nothing better than going from one place. We went out and went bowling in the middle. We didn't go bowling at the end. We went bowling in the middle. And then we went to the club and got home late. But did we do that every weekend? No.
No.
And I think Hope's right. You just got to go to a movie.
Yeah, there are other things in Vegas to do, obviously, than going down to the strip. And once they've only been here for 6 months.
Yup.
So that's the other part of this that we need to talk about.
Good call.
When you move here, there is a window that you just go to the buffet and shove everything down your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Because you don't have that in Des Moines.
Right, because there's nothing to do. After you've been here a few years, you learn how to moderate your intake.
Yeah, I call it the newness factor.
Yeah.
So like when something new opens up, everybody goes, and then 6 months later, it's less busy. It's the same thing. You first move to town. I was 21 when I moved to town.
Oh, God.
And I went crazy that first 8 months. And then I started
Portland, from Portland, which is a little draconian. I mean, Portland's funny. It's like open and liberal and all this other stuff, but then the liquor laws are hardcore.
Harsh. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's liquor stores, and they close at 7 p.m. And there was one in town that was open until 8 p.m.
Still, right?
Yeah, still.
Like, you can't buy, like, at least in Washington, you can buy booze in the grocery store now.
Oh, you can, okay.
Yeah, nope. But I don't think you can
nope.
in Oregon.
Not in Oregon, nope.
You can buy beer and wine.
They
beer
got
wine.
State, yep. state-sponsored
stores State-sponsored stores.
Yeah.
Yep. No, and they're crazy. Hardcore, too. And if isn't bar time, like, bar time in Portland, 1 o'clock?
It's some of the places in downtown are 2, but last calls at 1:30.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a hardcore last call at 1:30.
Yes.
And then you're everybody, like, if there's anybody even in the building at 2, that's what it is.
Exactly.
And they'll come in and do so. Little David, oh my God.
Exactly.
With his little peach fuzz mustache.
Kind of grown in.
21 years old, he's man style.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now all those old stories about you going to the club and hitting on go-go girls makes perfect sense now.
Exactly.
So. Any married one.
It's a Vegas come to life true story romance.
Yeah, maybe you just got to give it a minute.
Yeah, yep. I think that's the best advice.
Give it a minute. Let the shiny wear off. Don't get too worked up.
Yeah.
Smart. Yep.
All right, good. I think we've done good work here.
Jeff Buchanan, Spence, Kayla, and Davey the Show Killer. The Jeff Buchanan Show on 98.5 KLUC.
This buddy of ours telling us the other day how he owes his roommate $1,800 for backing into his truck, and he still hasn't paid up yet.
Cheapskate.
Like, what? Somebody owe you something right now?
Yes. I mean, for like years ago, and I still haven't gotten it back yet. My ex-boyfriend, my like first boyfriend in college, who was the last guy I dated, I let him borrow almost $1,000 from me. His friend passed away and he was from Texas and he had moved to Tallahassee and he wanted to go visit his friend, but he had no money. He went to go home to visit his friend for the funeral. And then I never got it back from him. And part of me, he were still friends on Facebook. Part of me wants to like reach out and be like, hey, so you said you were going to pay me back. And you never did, and I could really use $1,000.
How long ago was this?
He's 9 years ago.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting that back.
Really? I can't ever go back and get it?
Oh, you can.
Good luck.
You can, but you're not getting it. Why haven't you brought it up?
Because I'm just not that person.
You're just not that person that's going to get paid.
I know.
On the flip, I imagine Davey would be relentless.
Yeah.
If somebody owed you, what's the level where you start bugging people for the money they owe you? $20?
200.
200 is when you start bugging them?
200.
Hey, you got that 200 you owe me?
Yeah. And I don't like confrontation, so I hate having to ask.
But you will.
I will. I mean, I've got one that goes back 18 years.
He hasn't forgotten.
There's an entertainment company I used to DJ for in Portland, Oregon before I moved to Vegas. And the guy, it was around $1,400 the guy owed me. Never got.
Let's call him. Who is it?
I know his name with Keith. I just don't remember the name.
We should probably be careful.
But no, we should. We should call Keith.
Yeah.
For me, Sherry, this was, I don't know, about when I first moved to Vegas, I loaned her 3 CDs. They were, it was a Death Row Greatest Hits. It was Tupac's All Eyes on Me.
Uh-huh. Great album.
Okay.
And I think Eminem's Marshall Mathers CD.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even think I have a CD player in my car. But Sherry, I know you still listen. I want my CDs back. You know who you are.
I owe you this. Chet Buchanan Show is brought to you by Challenger School. Start early, start right. Challenger School. Open enrollment happening now. Who owes you and how much do they owe you? Abby, how much does your roommate owe you?
$2,000.
Dang. For what?
For 2 months of rent, and when I told her that I was going to be evicting her or that she needed to leave for not paying me, she cranked up her air conditioning, opened up all of her windows, left all of her lights on, just completely blew my water and my electricity bill, and in the outcome, she put me in $2,000 worth of debt for everything.
What a big fat B.
She was a big fat B.
Did you guys sign like a lease together?
No, and that was my fault. She was a friend that I thought she was a friend and just totally screwed me over and then just disappeared without a trace. And she left
I love
her room a mess. less
Oh, you're, yeah, you're not getting that
everywhere.
$2,000. You're not getting that $2,000. You're You'll screwed. Never get that $2,000.
Oh, no. I'll never get it back. Never. Mm-hmm. But there's a special place in.
For big fat like bees. Yeah, for big fat bees.
Yeah.
We should say that.
Sorry.
Abby's roommate who owes her $2,000 is a what? Some big fat bee.
Big fat bee. I like it.
That'll be the final exam later on today. Save that clip. Emma, I love this. Your friend Eric owes you how much?
It's not even that much, but it's like the principle of the thing. He owes me $50.
Yeah,
because he called me out of the blue. I've been friends with this guy since high school, but we kind of lost touch, but always kind of just said, hey, how you doing through Facebook. And he calls me and he's like, Emma, I really need your help. I'm about to go to jail, but I need $35 to post my whatever bail or something. And so I was like, okay. And then it slowly crept up. He's like, oh, well, then can you chip in like $10 more so I can get some food? And like, you know, eventually got to $50. And I was like, okay, it's just $50.
Yeah.
But he still went to jail. Like, I was like, what did you use that money for if you still went to jail? And he like blocked me on Facebook. And yeah.
Does
for
it
50
rhyme?
Bucks. I was like, dude, just pay me back. Like, whatever.
What he used the money on, does it sound like more weed?
I think weed.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Does it sound like more weed?
And he was like, I'll even smoke you out. Like, after I'll pay you back.
Never
heard back from him.
Of course not.
Oh, my God.
And I get it. It is only $50, but you thought you were doing this guy a solid, and it just turns out he's just a scumbag.
Yeah, I was like, I'm helping him out. You know, I don't really know him anymore, but I'm trying to be a good person, and he seemed really down, and he's had some bad luck, and now I know why. He's just kind of a scumbag who uses people.
Because he's a big fat bee, too.
Yeah.
Have a great day. Thanks, Emma.
You too. Thanks.
Dang. And then how much do they owe you, Angela?
$1,400.
And who is it?
My cousin.
That's dirty.
that's complicated. Uh-huh. What happened?
It is. So my now husband went out with my cousin and his buddies, and they got rowdy and got belligerent and ended up getting arrested to my cousin and his friend. And my husband walked away like, sorry, I don't know what to tell you guys, because they were being dumb and they got arrested and they needed somebody to post their bail. So they called me, and I was like, well, you know, I really don't want to do it, but okay, if you're sure. And my husband was my fiance at the time, so he was like, well, we'll just do it, babe, it's not a big deal. I was like, okay, fine. So we posted bail for my cousin, and then he was like, hey, well, if you spot me the $700 for my friend, I'll get you guys back as soon as I get out of jail. I got the money in the account, no worries. So we were like, okay, fine. So we spotted them the $1,400. And 9 years later, we still haven't seen a dime of it.
Oh, my God. How's Thanksgiving around your house?
We don't talk.
No, I would imagine.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Our other family.
And he was my favorite cousin growing up. Like, he was my big brother. I trusted him with my life. I mean, I moved in with him when I was 15. Like, it was just bad. It's just bad.
Are other family members involved?
We haven't spoken.
Are other family members involved?
Just his wife, who I actually still communicate with, and she's actually coming up here for spring break with my baby cousins. So
just give me $14 100 times.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I was like, dude, it's not even that much money. It's like, and we even tried going to his friend and saying, hey, we need the $700 we posted for your bail. Like, we need that money out. And, you know, we have bills too. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't get arrested. He was like, I never got arrested. And we were like, what? Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's another big fat bee. Wow. Man, that's not right.
Yeah, you need to have like a billing system right now.
Right. Angela, do
and
you...
what's sad is I worked in debt collections for over 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, good. Then it's coming back to you for calling my house.
Exactly.
Maybe you should pay your bill, too. You're a big fat bee.
Yeah. The Jeff Buchanan Show.
The Jeff Buchanan Show. 90.5 KLUC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.